Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the kingdom of God. The Old Testament doesn't talk about charity once, but it does talk about free will offerings, which is charity. It does talk about sacrifice, which is what charity is sacrifice. It talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. Moses said this. Christ said this. Well, we talked about civil law in the last show, and you are the civil law. You make the laws. You make the government. You make it with apathy as well as with swearing allegiance. This is why Christ said, stop the taking of oaths. Don't swear. James said, above all else, stop the taking of oaths. Our fidelity is a matter of relationship with one another. We become brothers because we act like brothers. We live like brothers. We sacrifice like brothers. Not because we swear we will be brothers. Those bonds of honor and love will hold far more in time of crisis. Who are the fathers of the earth? Who should you have allegiance to? Who should you pray to? Who should you depend upon? The emperor of Rome was known as the Patronus, our father. The senators of Rome were called conscripted fathers. Patre is the word you see in the Greek text, which is the Latin word patri for father. When Jesus said, call no man on earth father, he was talking about the Roman Senate, the Roman emperors. He didn't say disobey them, but don't look to them. This way, in John 8:44, he says, ye are of your father, the devil, the adversary, and the lust of your father ye will do. You want power, just like he wants power. Because you created an office of power, and you called it Patronus. You called it Imperator, because he had the imperium that belongs with every man, when every man was the civil power, when every man had the right to decide fact and law, when there was no kings in Israel, because all were kings. But that only works amongst righteous people. You cannot legislate liberty. You obtain liberty by taking back your responsibilities. In a righteous way, according to the righteousness of God. This is what Christ was preaching, but this is not what Christians are doing. They go to church to feel good. We talk about tithes. Tithe, a tenth of everything you earn. But tithing wasn't just a tenth, because there were several tithes, so that would be like 20%, 30% even sometimes. Depends on if there was a need. The one rich man was giving half of everything he had, but it wasn't enough. If he wanted to be one of Christ's disciples, if he wanted to do more, he had to give it all up. This is actually repeated several times to his disciples. If you want to be one of my disciples, you have to give up all, and he actually uses a word there that means property, and own all things in common, because you become a brotherhood. Now that's to be the actual ministers that Christ says, I appoint unto you a kingdom, but you are not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other. He was telling people how to organize themselves, free assemblies, supported by free will offerings, to take care of the needy of your society in pure religion. He wasn't talking about setting up a church that makes you feel really good about yourself and what you do all week. He was setting up a network of ministers, ordained of God, a separate government, that didn't disobey Caesar, but did contrary to Caesar, because they were operating by faith, hope, and charity, and not by force. They were taking care of the needy not by the use of a sword compelling offerings, but by love and charity. This alters society. So we have links there on preparingyou.com, on audio Q&A page, and you can use the search engine and just look for the word tithing. And we explain that they had organized themselves into the tens, hundreds, and thousands. And so 10 families together had a minister, and that minister was health, education, and welfare. He was the go-to guy if there was a need. I mean, he would do everything from helping you figure out how to run your business to helping you find solution for physical ailments and health problems. He would connect you because, see, his main job was to connect you with the rest of society. We just talked today about prophetesses, women who prophesied in the church, in the community of Christ, using church in the general sense there. Someone had several daughters who prophesied. There was a woman who was working in the temple, which was an actual government building providing services for the people. And she knew Christ was coming. She was a prophet. We are all to be vessels of the Holy Spirit. But they gather together in groups of 10. So this minister, being health, education, and welfare, being FEMA, the Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary, networking you together into a kingdom network that would be taking care of one another in faith, hope, and charity. Because by doing so, you create the bonds of a free society. You're not bound by oaths and affirmations. You're bound by love. I always tell the story of when I was visiting my grandmother's place in North Dakota, that the storekeeper there, I'd gone in and showed him something that we had gotten from the store, and I thought that maybe it had been tainted in the store. It could have been tainted at my grandmother's house, but he wanted to give me a new one. And I said, no, it's probably something my grandmother did, but I just wanted to bring it to you. He says, I don't care. You take a new one. And I said, well, I'm really not trying to get it. And he insisted, just was adamant about it, unduly adamant about it. And he was a little older than me, but he was a fairly young man. But he told me, he says that during the Depression, of all the families that the store helped out, it was my grandfather who came back and paid every dime he owed. The only one, he said, who paid back every dime he owed. And he says, as long as your grandmother lives, she will not go hungry if we have food in the store. Those are the bonds you want in society. Those are the survival bonds of a society. And those are not created easily. They're not created overnight. And it passes from generation to generation. You've been cut off from that. You have not depended upon one another in love and in assistance and in service one to each other. You don't do that in church anymore. You go to men who exercise authority, contrary to the words of Christ. Yet you say you believe in Christ. You say you believe in Jesus, but you don't do what he says. And he tells us over and over again that that will be the case, that we will say, Lord, Lord, but we will not be doing the will of the Father. We will not be keeping the commandments. We will actually violate the commandments. So this is how the kingdom of God works. It works through free will offerings. You know, again, I say Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Prophesied what? And if we will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans, that's, you know, government workers, and sinners. They grouped them together. At that time, and there was a reason to, because they were operating by force. They were providing what the people needed, but not in faith, hope, and charity, by force. By violence, take it by force. You'll find two quotes in the Bible about, but they write it differently in the Bible. They translate it differently in the Bible. And if you actually look it up, you'll find that in reference to John, until John, the same word is only appears twice in the Bible, and both times it is in reference to John, and it's the word bias. I was just going to look it up and see if I could find it for you so that you can see the actual quote yourselves. So if you want to look in Matthew 11:12, you'll see the quote that I just gave you. But you can also find the same thing where the violent take it by force. But they don't translate it that way. They translate it slightly different. And you'll see a variation of the same word. And you'll see it, Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Again, talking about John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So the same word that we see, presseth into it, is found in both Matthew and Luke, but translated differently. In one place, suffereth violence, and the other one, press. And they're both talking about John. And what the word is actually meaning is they use force. They apply force. They inflict force to accomplish something. The government of God was preached by Herod, but he used force to force the contributions of the people to provide for them. And so you'll see that both in Luke 16:16 and Matthew 11:12. Go read it for yourself, and you'll see the same word applied only two places, biazo, in the Bible. Now, there's variations of that word in the same text, and we actually see it in biastes, appears in the Matthew 11:12, which is translated, only appears once in the whole Bible, and it's in that verse. And it talks about strong force, or using violence. And that's what it does. When you create a government of force, eventually it becomes addicted to that force, and it uses that force to abuse, because it's more interested in exercising power than love. If we go back to Samuel, and he talks about a foolishly that Saul has acted, and we see it in Samuel 13:13. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." But he's not going to do that now, because Saul did something. He says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." He forced an offering. That's the foolish thing he did. He forced a sacrifice. He forced the people to contribute to a good cause. And because of that, he lost his kingdom. And that is the way it will always go, and always has gone, from the beginning of time. Until we meet again, peace on your house, and may God be with you. For more information, contact us at hisholychurch.org, or email us at radio@hisholychurch.org, or write us at His Church, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640.